Welcome to Comics,
episode 240. This week, we talk about
Alex and Ada, part 1.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast begins.
So this is your new mic, Jen?
Yes, I've caved and got a Yeti.
Oh, don't you love it?
It's fucking huge.
But isn't it pretty? It looks like a real microphone.
Yeah, it's like ultra fancy. Grant talked me into making a YouTube channel where I do Let's Play videos. I haven't published anything yet, but I've gone about getting the setup going, and then I was like, I podcast every week, and I really want a new microphone, so I should just do it.
Yeah, hey, and you know, when you set it up, if you want to do live on YouTube for this show, that'd be fucking baller. I'm down for that.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, we can make it for your stream and our show and whatever, because I mean, we don't have a network or anything, so it's not like I have any reason not to just use whatever listenership you got.
So far it's zero, but
tell me what it is, and I'll you'll have one subscriber right now.
It won't show up if you look it up.
Fine,
because I don't have videos
supportive.
Uploaded yet. I'll let you know next week.
Okay, all right.
I'm gonna do a Fallout 4 Let's Play.
Ooh, yeah, that'll be good, because I don't actually don't have any motivation to actually play Fallout 4 myself. But I can watch the videos while I'm at work.
Yeah, actually, so, I know there's, all this hype around Fallout 4, and I'm starting to get swept up a little bit by it, but I've never actually played a Fallout game. So I don't know, I know what the premise of it, but if you've never played a Fallout game, is it worth playing Fallout 4 and not any of the previous ones?
So I will say this. I played Fallout, Fallout 2, and Fallout Tactics, which were the top-down isometric RPGs. Right. And then, of course, Tactics is Tactics. But 3 is Oblivion or Skyrim. Okay. So it's kind of a first-person, third-person shooter, you get to choose RPG. I got to, I don't know, I got a few hours in. I killed a man, took his suit, and then got bored. People seem to like New Vegas more than 3, but since I never finished 3, I never tried New Vegas.
Okay.
I watched Grant play 4, and oh my god, it was just it looked really fun, and they hook you in right away, I think. They do a cool thing at the start, so, I don't know, I found it way more engaging than 3.
Okay. See, and the part of the problem, too, is I'm really excited to play Star Wars Battlefront,
which
comes out in, 5 days.
I have it pre-ordered. So I
really
can play.
Don't want to, I don't want to buy a game that will take a lot of time.
And they're both $60 games. They're not
Yeah, because this happened when Borderlands 2 came out, because exactly 1 week after Borderlands 2 came out, Mist of Pandaria came out.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
And I played both, and I was oh my god. And so what I felt compelled to play Mist of Pandaria, even though I had only spent probably 10 or so hours playing Borderlands 2. I stopped what I was doing and played Mist of Pandaria, because everyone was playing Mists. And so it was, I don't know, it just seemed kind of it didn't work for me. So I think what I'll do is, if I do decide to play Fallout 4, I'll wait a little while, and I'm just going to play Battlefront when it comes out.
That makes sense.
Yeah. For me, it's just the money to play all of these games.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll get Fallout 4 5 years from now when it's like $15.
Yeah, I've already actually put it on my Steam wish list just in case. Because, I mean, if there's games that are like seem interesting, I'll just stick them on my wish list and, you know,
sort it out later.
Yeah.
I've only seen people binge play it so far, but I will say, like, I think it can be done in bite-sized portions, which is nice. Like, I haven't played a huge swath of it yet. I've, like, dicked around here and there. I didn't say this earlier. The main reason I like it more is because they made it more Mass Effect-like.
Ooh, now you have my interest.
Like, it's not sci-fi. Well, it's post-apocalypse, but it's not, like, space, right? But they put in, like, the wheel, like, the response wheel, or a bad knockoff of it, actually. And I don't know, like, it just, there's also, like, you build a town, which is kind of cool. Like, it feels pretty unique. You can mod your guns and everything in this one.
All right.
Yeah. I recommend it. I would say I don't regret spending the $60 on it. We'll see if that changes once I finish it. But, like, getting it on sale later is probably the most reasonable thing to do.
Yeah but, I mean, the other thing is, too, like, you're in the hype now and you're playing the game.
Yeah.
The thing that I miss out on playing a game 5 years later is nobody's talking about my video game. You know, and when I try to talk about it with friends, it's all like, yeah, that was 5 years ago, Andy, of course, that the game's, like, really good, you know, and everybody's like, yeah, duh, there's not any excitement around the game when you wait for the sale like I do.
Yeah, I feel your pain, Andy. I know how you feel.
Yeah, it's fine. That's why I'm dropping the money for Star Wars Battlefront. I'm just gonna do it. Fuck it.
Well, I mean, like you always talk about how great Mass Effect is, but, I mean, both of you guys do, and I still haven't finished. I have Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3, and I haven't finished 2 at all. Like, I'm barely into the game, and I'd like to at some point, but there's a lot of other cool things going on. So, yeah.
Like, I just bought Rocket League because it's on sale, and I'm willing to bet nobody plays it anymore.
It's on sale?
It was $16 instead of $20.
Well, I don't know if the hockey mode has come out yet, but once hockey mode comes out, I'll play with you.
Yeah, and I mean,
like, if you ever, like, want to play a game with me, like, you could text me. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee that I will definitely be able to play, but a lot of times I, you know, it gets to, like, the kids are in bed, it's like 9:30, and I'm like, okay, now what do I do?
I think you and I have the same gaming windows, like 9:30 to 11.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, I have time. I need to fill my time with something fun. Otherwise, I'm going to, like, go crazy. And I end up watching TV, or I'll play something like Metro 2033. You know, that's like a really old game that I'm really enjoying. And, you know, sometimes a game... I think the reason why I liked that game so much and was so drawn into it is because I was reading the book at the same time. And so there was supporting media. So that's why I think that this is a really good time for Star Wars Battlefront to come out, because, you know, it's going to come out, and then 31 days later, the movie's going to come out, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty excited for Battlefront. But I want to check out Fallout 4 at some point. Because everybody seems to like... the game's really popular, so there must be something about it that is good, you know? I just... not having played any of the games before... Well, that's not entirely true. I did get that game for iOS, The Vault something.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah.
I was playing that for a little bit. Although I think probably everybody in my vault is dead now, because I haven't looked at it in, like, a couple months. But, I would like to try the game at some point, so that's cool. I'll check out your videos when you start posting them, Jen.
Oh, thanks.
2 subscribers down.
Yeah.
So, David, you were mentioning mostly what you do is watch TV in your spare minutes. Every morning when I'm eating cereal before work, I eat half an episode of a cartoon. I watch half an episode of a cartoon, and I've been watching Gundam Build Fighters, and I just started Gundam Build Fighters Try. And I want to apologize. In my review of Gundam Build Fighters Try, I kept saying it feels too anime, too tropey. But, like, by the time you get to the end of Gundam Build Fighters, it does all of the same thing. And I think what really gets me about Gundam Build Fighters Try is just how much he says Jigen, what's the name of the school? Jigen Howl or whatever.
Well, lots of animes do that. People have to announce their moves, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he does it. That happens a lot more frequently in Try than it does in standard Gundam Build Fighters. And I think that's what threw me off. Because then every time he says a thing, it does the action lines. And then he does a thing, and it does the action lines. So it's like double the action lines around
Well, because you have to see, you have to see him getting hyped, and then you have to see the mobile suit being hyped too.
Yeah, and I get that's the thing, but I don't know. I wanted to quasi apologize for my review because I don't feel like it was quite
well. So Andy, if that's something that bothers you with anime, you really need to watch One Punch Man.
I have been watching One Punch Man. There's and it's a part pretty
where
great.
I'm sure you got to the part. It's like I think in the second or third episode where he says, where he announces a move and he says consecutive normal punches.
Yes, yes, it's in the second one. Yeah, it's great.
Because the guy he's fighting, like, announces this crazy move. He's like, I think it's Beast King or something that he's fighting. And then so Saitama replies by saying, normal consecutive punches.
Yeah. That one is
or
also
consecutive
good.
Normal punches or something.
Yeah. No, that show is pretty good. It's good for a good laugh.
Yeah, it's I cannot get enough of that show. I watched episode 5, and then I watched episode 6 the week later when it came out. And then the day after I watched episode 6, I watched episode 5 and 6 again. Because I really liked episode 5, where they go take the test to get certified as superheroes.
I've only watched the first two so far.
Oh, God, it's so funny.
Because
so it's so good.
I've been mainlining Build Fighters Try, so I can't wait to get started on in earnest on One Punch Man.
Yeah, dude, episode 5 is so funny. When they get the results back of the test, it's great.
All right. Okay, so before we move on to the comic, I just want to say, voting for the Super Welcome to Sugoi Comics Mega Gundam Building Throwdown competition is closed. So if you're hearing this episode, there's no more time to vote, and you'll be hearing the winners shortly. On Facebook, we'll announce them, and then next week we'll let you listeners know if you don't follow us on Facebook. But the winner will receive a free SD Gundam kit thanks to all of you awesome Patreon patrons who help us do cool things with the show, like run these contests and have real prizes, so we're motivated to not just, like, louse around on it. So, thank you, patrons, and you'll know in a couple days on Facebook who the winner was.
Yep. Woo!
All right, you guys ready to talk about this week's comic?
Hell yes.
Yep. This week's comic.
This week and next week we're reading Alex and Ada. It's a 15 issue. Wait, 15 or 16?
15, I think.
Yeah. So this week we're doing the first half of a two-parter about Alex and Ada. It's a 15 issue comic put out by Image, written by Jonathan Luna and Sarah Vaughn, and also drawn by Jonathan Luna. And I first bought this as part of a Humble Bundle, and I got the first volume with the Humble Bundle, and I read it, and I was like, this is fantastic balls. So we're reading all three volumes of them, and we're kind of like stopping halfway through volume 2. So if you read all of volume 2, you know more than we do right now, but we stopped at issue 7. We've read issue 7. Haven't started 8. 8 will start next week. Alex and Ada, what did you guys think of this?
So, when I got to the end of issue 7, I had to force myself to stop reading.
Right?
Because I just bought, because it's 3 volumes and we are only reading half of volume 2, I was like, I'll just buy all 3 right now.
Yeah.
I bought them on Kindle, and, I had to stop at the end of issue 7. I had to force myself to stop because I would have just kept reading it.
This story is super good at cliffhangers. And the one at the end of 7 is fantastic.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was a good place for us to stop for the episode, I think.
Yeah, because at this point, it's all been built up and creating the world and building the story and the circumstance and all of that, and now shit's about to get real. But I want to start off by asking, would either one of you buy an android? Not like in the companionship kind of way, but like, was there ever a point in your life or any circumstance you would see yourself buying an android? In this world?
In the real world?
In the construct of this being what the androids are like.
I can definitely see the benefit of having something like Otto.
Yeah.
You know, the little UFO floating guy. One, yeah. Like, I could definitely see that being helpful.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd buy one of those in a heartbeat.
I don't know. So, like, this comic opens up with that kind of question, right? Because yeah. Alex is against having an android like Ada because, well, he's not against it, but he seems to be slightly, like, repulsed by the idea.
I think I think saw it as a good analog for, like, dating online. Like, one of those things, like, oh, you need an android because you can't get a real person. Like, oh, you need to date online because you can't, you know, go out in the world and meet real people. Like, there's that same kind of stigma, I feel.
I don't know if that's...
That's not a straight, like, one-to-one, but there's definitely that kind of, like, stigma like that around having an android.
Well, I don't think there's a stigma around having an android
it's in the general.
It's having an sentient AI, one, and I think also having... You know, we see it in Ada's interaction with Jody when she goes in the backyard, right? I think it's the uncanny valley type effect where, I mean, Jody had no idea that Ada was an android until Ada said that she was.
Yeah, until she lifted up her arm and there was the logo.
Yeah, and then, I mean, we see the look on her face, and then later, you know, Jody tells, or Ada describes that Jody ran back into the house screaming, and then, you know, we see Jody talk to Alex about how she's going to tell the whole neighborhood.
She puts up a fucking bulletin.
Yeah, and then we get the creeper guy. Well, I mean...
That creeper guy, yeah. That guy is such a bro. I'd love to take that one for a ride. You ever want to swap?
The thing about it is, like, that's why people... that's why some people in the world of the comic are owning these lifelike androids.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the reason that's why the grandma has one. And I didn't have the same, like, I didn't see the grandma in the same way as I saw this dude who ran up to Alex on the street, right?
Well, you know what it is. Like, people, young or old, have sex, and that's pretty normal.
Right.
So the idea that your grandma's having sex, I mean, you don't want to think about it, but that's like everyday stuff. But like a rando coming up to you on the street, like what if it was a real girl? What if some random dude came up to you and was like, ooh, I'd love to take your wife for a spin? You'd punch him.
Or you'd want to. At this point, that's kind of what it's like. She's a real person when that happens.
Yeah. Well, moreover, like you kind of get the sense that someone who would say that to a stranger about his robot very well might say it to a stranger about his girlfriend.
Yeah. That's kind of a dickbag
but
either way.
I think to a certain degree you're correct, but at the same time, this guy, he doesn't know that Ada is sentient, for
no,
one.
Yeah. No.
Two, he doesn't see her as a person. He sees her as an appliance, basically, a piece of technology.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
A penis appliance.
I mean, yeah, you could definitely put it that way. It is.
Absolutely. Daniel for the grandma is a glorified vibrator, and the Tanaka X5 for this dude is a glorified, like, fleshlight.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I think it's gross that he wants to share with Alex.
He basically wants to trade fleshlights for a
but
day.
I don't necessarily... I don't necessarily blame the guy for his outlook worldview of androids.
And that also seems to be like the general consensus of kind of what these things are for.
Right.
Which, then when I ask the question, would you buy an android? My immediate answer is, hell yes. Not just because, like, not for the sex thing. Although, to be honest, if I could afford one and I was single... and I didn't, like, if this is me as, like, a 25-year-old, yeah, fuck it, I wouldn't have that hang-up. But, like, even now, with a wife, I would buy one to just have around the house all the time. To cook, clean, do the gardening, you know, like somebody suggests, give her things to do around the house to make her seem normal. And I'm like, yeah, but I know that Otto can probably do a lot of those functions, but something with as sophisticated of an AI as Ada would be super valuable for everything around the house. It's like having a live-in butler who just has to eat a shit ton.
Okay, so then I think that's fine. And I think we get that there is a, that even before Ada is sentient, there is a very fine line that is crossed when you bring an android that looks like Ada or Daniel into your house. Because,
yeah,
you know, we see the other ones that look like a robot. I mean, we see that, you know, Ada looks out the window and we see the guy jogging with his robot and his robot's like coaching him. So would you, I think I would be okay with an android who looks like, say, C-3PO in my house doing, you know, housekeeping type roles. But I wouldn't, I think having somebody that looks like a human, that looks exactly like a human would be very uncomfortable. I think if they look like maybe Data from Star Trek, that would be okay. But having this thing that looks exactly like a person, but it not being a person would, I think, creep me out a little bit.
See, I would want it to look like a person because I'm a little bit weird and I would love to dress it up in cool things.
But you could dress it. I mean, if you had an android that looked like Data, you could dress that up. I mean,
that would be fine.
Sherlock Holmes, right?
Fuck yeah, that's awesome. See, that's that's the kind of shit I would do.
But you could put a hat and on your C-3PO also.
Yeah.
And I think that would be funnier than dressing up a robot that looks like a person.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's an uncanny valley for you, David.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's more than just uncanny valley. Well, you're right. It is exactly that, because it's this thing that looks like a person, talks like a person, has the capacity to act like a person, at least superficially, but I know in the back of my mind that it is not a person.
Yeah.
And that it's something that we have really no concept of in our world. We don't have anything like that. And so Alex, I think for him, it's not an uncanny valley type of thing, because having those kinds of, androids,
it's a product in the world.
It's something that exists in the world. And, I think he feels a little bit. I think the thing with Alex is he knows that there's more to her than the program, and that's kind of what starts their adventure together, right?
Yeah,
is that he knows that there's something more to her, and you know, so for us, I think it's hard to relate to, well, not relate to it, but have any kind of
frame of reference.
Frame of reference is a good way to put it.
Yeah, and, well, I actually think Luna and Vaughn did a really good job of kind of trying to make it closer to us. Like, when everybody comes over to Alex's house, when they find out that he has, and I love that scene, first is just Emily on the couch, and then she's like, I gotta tell the guys. And then, like, you turn the page, and the top panel is everybody on the couch.
Yeah.
But it's framed the exact same. That was a perfect, perfect transition. But then they do the same things to Ada that people did when Siri first came out. You know, like, they kind of ask her dumb questions and she gives like the stock answer and they go, oh, I kind of thought that would be funnier. Or, oh, haha, that's kind of neat. What about this? What about that? Like, they play with her the same way that we play with like cell phone technology. And I like the way that this comic did a really good job of moving us, like moving the society forward in the future, but not getting crazy about how technology would change people. I feel like that happens a ton of times in sci-fi. Like, people, society suddenly changes because there's one technological invention. And, I mean, there might be a technology like that down the road, something like the replicator gets rid of the need for greed altogether. But for something like this, it's another super advanced piece of technology. Alex still lives in the house, still has a car, still goes to work. Like, society is the same. It's just a new piece of technology. And the comic did a really good job of making that more relatable. But you're right, there's like no frame of reference or something like an android. There's just not. Although I would say, if I were going to buy an android, I would buy one that that didn't look human, just because I think having like an alien thing would be cool. Like, buy an Asari model
would
or something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, would you make yours look like Liara or something?
Yeah, buy an Asari or a Twi'lek or a Chiss, something cool. Or a Ferengi! Oh, that'd be so cool, like a Ferengi butler.
Oh, God.
He with the ears. And I could teach it to say the rules of acquisition.
It would be such a jerk if it actually, like, acted anything like a Ferengi.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be the worst butler ever.
It'd be like when you get a parrot and you teach it to say cuss words all the time. Oh, man, it'd be great.
Yep.
Until you get tired of it, and then you're like, oh, God, what did I do?
Oh, God, my choices. So the other thing I wanted to talk about this comic was this is the great thing. You can just talk about AI and robotics and sentience off of this comic, but there's other like great sub-themes and tidbits in here. And the first one that I noticed that I definitely want to talk about is like the quote-unquote pacification of the spirit. Like all of the technology that kind of helps you shelter in your home. Like, there's Otto, so he doesn't have to do the cooking on his own. There's so much that Alex doesn't have to do on his own in his house, that kind of removes you from the physical world in a kind of way. And like, even Daniel tells the grandmother in issue 2 when they're sitting, what is it? They're sitting on the couch or something, but Daniel tells the grandmother, if you think it is wonderful, then of course it must be. And it's like, part of him wants to be like, go grandma, but, spoil yourself and buy the super awesome vibrator and spend a whole day doing tantric sex. Like, you've earned it. Have fun. But then the other part of me is like, is some of that like checking out too? Like, that's Daniel just tells her what she wants to hear. And does it really make her happy in like an existential kind of way? And I like the way that this comic mirrored the technology telling you what you want to hear, the pacification of the spirit, versus the awakening of the robot. Like, it was a really good juxtaposition in this comic.
Yeah, there was something. I kept getting little reminders of the movie WALL-E.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, it felt like they were getting really close to that, because he, you know, he was in his car watching something on TV, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see anything, I don't know, I don't really see anything wrong with that necessarily, because, I mean, driving to work, commuting in traffic sucks, you know?
Yeah.
And if you didn't have to do it, why would you? Or if you could make that time better, more entertaining or something, why not?
Yeah. Like, I know, David, when you drive to work and back, you listen to audiobooks. I listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I listen to both.
Well, I mean, this is just one more step. Like, if we don't have to pay attention to the road, why not have a screen in there? It's not a huge leap, per se.
But then, you know, like you said, there's all the other things, too. Like, I think it's not to the point where Alex doesn't do anything, because we see him and Otto work together to prepare breakfast for Ada.
Yeah.
And so it's not like he's not doing anything, but at the same time, you're right. I feel like it's getting close to that point where you don't have to do anything. Somebody with enough money in the world that Alex lives in could probably buy enough androids and not have to do anything.
Yeah. And I mean,
what's to stop somebody from buying an android and sending it to go do a job and getting paid for that job? And then, you know, it's an android. It doesn't necessarily need money, right?
I mean, in this world, the only thing that stops you from doing that is the law. Yeah. That it's illegal for them to carry and tender and things like that. Like, but other than that, you're right. There's no reason. And this gets into later on in the comic too. Like, there's nothing to separate other than the mark on the hand, which apparently they can remove or obscure. There's nothing to separate a sentient android and a human being in this comic.
But yeah, I mean, Ada could just wear a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, and
or done. A bracelet.
Yeah,
put her hand in her pocket. Right. I mean, it's not hard to obscure
the mark.
The mark, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that whole theme is underscored, because I think when you're reading this comic in issue 1, the first 5 pages, nobody says a word out loud. It's all the prime wave, like the thinking, and things just kind of click and whir in the world. Like, I was really taken aback. And this kind of is like WALL-E too, like you were saying. This world is very quiet a lot of times, especially Alex's life. It reminds me of when I was a bachelor, you know, like if it's just you living alone, like you go to work and you go home. And if you don't have pets or somebody to talk to, like you're off work at 5, you're home at 5:30, and you don't have to say another word aloud until 8 o'clock the next day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I actually have never lived by myself, but I remember there was a time before we had kids, and Lucia went to, she traveled for like a month to go visit her sister, and I was in the house by myself, and I remember coming home and thinking, what do I do now, you know? And I would try to fill my time with stuff. And this is when we were neighbors, Andy. So I would come over to your house and stuff.
But, yeah.
But I remember thinking, like, getting home and not having anything to do. And it was very strange. No one to talk to. It was a very new sensation for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All
right. Just wanted to share that tidbit.
No, I just... And I think a bunch of this stuff, I don't know, a lot of this comic, this is going to sound kind of weird, a lot of this comic makes me identify directly with Alex.
Well, I think he is not so dissimilar to many people.
Yeah, and he's
kind of the everyman.
He's a classic introvert, too, which I think is more and more common with the technology that we include in our lives. It's more and more possible to be... like a social introvert, I think is the term that they use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're interacting with people, but indirectly, right?
Yeah. I have tons of friends on Facebook that I talk to every day through the computer, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And
even like my cousin, he lives nearby. He's like a couple years younger than me. I'm talking about Brandon. He and I are related, and I talk to him more via instant messaging services and text messaging than I do in real life, face to face. But he and I talk constantly about different things. So I can identify with that.
Yeah, and like the stuff that Alex pulls in the beginning of this comic before he gets Ada, like just calling out of whatever commitment he had, going home and watching TV until he goes to bed, or like having his birthday party for himself that his friend planned, and then just saying fuck it and leaving early. Like, he comes up with some excuse, like something that he needs to do or whatever, but he just goes home and hangs out. Like, I have done that. Mm-hmm. Maybe not at my own birthday party, but like, yeah, I'm gonna be social and go out, and nah, fuck this.
Yeah, totally.
But that also helps me connect later on with when Alex's coworker, what was the coworker's name?
I don't know if they told us.
They might not have named him.
Yeah, but semi-douchey coworker.
Yeah, I know who you're referring to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When Alex asked, so what do you think about androids or whatever? And the guy was like, oh, I wouldn't need one of those. I'm totally just, I gotta stop the women from fawning all over me. Like, I fucking hate those people. I hate those guys. It's bullshit.
It's just so sad, because you know it's not happening.
Yeah, you know it's not true. It's all just a screen.
He's just like, I don't know. He's probably just as lonely as Alex, and I wonder if when we're not seeing it depicted in this comic, if Alex was like a person, he'd be saying that same kind of shit, because he isolates himself, you know, it's a lonely life, and then, like, no one wants to seem lonely, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you say bullshit to make it seem like you're not living the life you are. I mean, and I think that's kind of the thing here. It's like he's always connected to the internet, right? But even then, like even with the ultimate amount of connection, he still chooses to isolate himself.
Yeah. Oh man, speaking of that, I would so rather own an android than have that thing in my brain.
I'd do neither, honestly. Like, oh god, first off, freaking have a love-hate internet relationship already. Like, I like the capabilities it gives me, and I like Wikipedia. The internet brings out the worst in a lot of people.
Yeah.
But then, owning an android, you know, we were talking about it earlier, but I don't think we mentioned in the comic, they keep saying it's like caring for a child.
Right?
Like Otto seems great. Like, he'll make your toast and your coffee and show you the news. And that seems like a really nice utility, but to like own what is basically, I guess, a Japanese sex bot, is like having like a pet almost. And I don't know, like it's a more complicated pet that can talk to you. And like, I don't even know if I want my own children, much less like a robot child. So.
Yeah. You gotta feed it 4,000 calories a day.
God.
Yeah.
That is so much food. Why can't you just plug them in? Like a freaking Tesla or something.
See, but yeah, that's the other thing. I feel like they would come up with, well, I don't know. Like, you would come up with droid food.
Well, remember, RoboCop eats baby food.
Yeah. You would come up with, like, the densest, highest calorie, cheapest thing you could. Like, just, like, mashed oats and, like, a high-energy bar. Well, no, he did say, like, high-energy bars that they make. I guess they do make some.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get the notion that that was...
Specifically for androids?
Yeah, I think it was just, like a power bar that he
like
was
like a Cliff Bar.
I would totally sell it. Android food would be bonkers.
Have you guys watched Snowpiercer?
Yes. Love that movie. So good.
You know what I'm thinking about with the bars.
Yeah. The gel, the, like, goo, those weird blocks of...
You
can
make those for androids.
Yeah, probably. Have you watched Snowpiercer, Andy?
No, no.
Oh, dude, you gotta watch it. It's on Netflix. It's okay. So
good. Oh, let me write it
down. Stars Captain America.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, on a train.
Chris Evans. But dude, it's so good. It's such a it's an intense movie.
All right, I got it written down on the list.
It's very good.
I'll probably never read it or watch it.
I'll
try.
You joke, but you are really missing out on a good movie.
I know. I so many things go on the list and it takes so long to get around to them.
It's also Tilda Swinton's best performance ever.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Really good. Okay.
Really good in it.
I'll try and sneak it in this weekend.
Anyways.
Yeah. So then Ada becomes sentient. Well, I guess it's kind of skipping a little bit, like the whole thing with the forum and Franklin. But I feel like that's a story that's going to play out more later. That's just that was a plot moving thing.
Yeah, I don't get the I get the notion that we haven't seen the last of Franklin.
Yeah. But
I will say, go on.
No, you go.
That section felt a little rushed to me. It was strange that Franklin put a deadline on it. I mean, it's a huge decision. You're basically... I mean, you're creating a person in a lot of ways, because Ada's not sentient, and like, if she never becomes sentient, can she feel bad about that? No, but the moment you make that decision, you are changing her life. And then Franklin's just like, so here's this information we dumped on you. Call this number within 24 hours or don't. And it's like that is not enough time to make a decision, not just for yourself, but for someone else.
See, like, I was right there with you until the end of, I think it's issue 6 or whatever, when the issue ends with Jody's face, like, looking terrified. That scene where Ada is out in the backyard trying to garden, and she, like, you can tell the art does such a good job of showing her enjoying the breeze, enjoying the sun, enjoying the smell of the flowers, all the things that she should not be able to do. And then Jody's there. That whole scene with Jody is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And if something as innocuous as gardening in the backyard and talking with a neighbor comes off as that scary to me as a reader, like, that moment is when I got Franklin's paranoia about the whole fucking thing. Like,
yeah.
I totally agree. You should give more time. And if you really want the robot to be sentient, you can be like, you know what? Take a week, think about it, and come to me. You know, it's a big decision. We want you to make the right choice morally. So take the time, get there how you need to get there, and then come to us. Like, that would be a way to maybe get more people. But man, seeing Jody's reaction and that scene, ugh. Like, it makes me see both sides of it.
I get it. At the same time, like, they were kind of explicit in the whole, if the admin let you in here, we're going to trust you.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So, I get Franklin's paranoia, but at the same time, I feel like if you're going to do this for someone, like, let them think on it a little. Because Here's a question for you guys. Would you guys have awoken your android if you had one?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
I
have two kids.
I can recognize right now that it is the morally correct decision to make, but I would never make it. Because it's too much of a risk. It's too much of a danger. I don't know what the penalty is for breaking that law, but based on the reaction of other people in this world, I don't want to know what the penalty is for breaking that law. I don't want to take that chance. And aside from that, there's a part of me that would love an AI as it was. Like, or not an AI, love an android as it was. Like, not like, ooh, love an android, but like, it's a thing that I would like to own. It's an appliance I would enjoy for the house to do the cleaning, do the cooking, do the whatever, you know? Or even just as a fucking person to accept packages from UPS.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my god, that would be so useful.
Like, $0.8 million, yeah, sure, that's a lot of money. But if it's going to last you 50, 60 years...
50 years of never having to deal with UPS again is worth $1 million.
Like, that $0.8 million does not seem like that high of a price if this thing will last you 50 years. It doesn't seem that bad, really. I would finance that before I would finance a house. Because even if I'm homeless, that android ain't going anywhere.
You live inside your android.
It'll eat garbage.
You mean like cut it open like a tauntaun? Like crawl in there?
Ride around in it like an exosuit.
Okay.
I wonder how durable they are. Like, could you make it get on all fours and ride it like a horse if you can't afford a car?
Well, they bleed in mosh pits, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Or have it give you piggyback rides everywhere.
Yeah, you could, like, fashion a backpack for it. Like, yes. Master Blaster from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
You could have it, like, carry you around in, like, a giant baby carrier.
Yeah.
See, $0.8 million is nothing. And then all the sex is a bonus. Speaking of the sex, I love how the comic is so coy in that they expect you as the reader to always go to the sex, like what is it? I think he's like, what do you want to do? And she's like, anything. He's like, I can do anything. She's like, I've got something in mind. And then you turn the page and they're boiling water. The comic is very cute in how it coyly does that, and it's something I really enjoy. They play with the reader.
Yeah, and that was actually a cute scene, because, like, people always say, like, watching water boil is kind of, like, the same expression as saying, like, I'd rather watch paint dry.
Yeah.
So it's like you pick the most freaking boring thing you can think of.
And she's fascinated by it.
Yeah. I mean, she's a child going through childhood in, like, what, 24 hours?
With a college education, too.
Yeah.
So she can... and experience and enjoy and fully appreciate everything that she's getting to do for the first time on a level that children can't. Like, it's a completely unique experience that could make something like water boiling actually be interesting. Whereas when you're a child, it's boring as fuck. And then by the time you're an adult, you're tired of doing it, so it's still boring as fuck.
I will say, I sympathize with this. Like, I've had a similar experience. I grew up in the Bay Area, and my parents never, ever took me to the mountains. So the first time I saw snow, I was like 25 or 26. And I got out there, and I was just like rolling around in it and screaming, and I was like, holy shit! and like stomping in it and throwing it. Like, I wouldn't wear a jacket or gloves because the feeling of snow on my skin was so unique. And I was like, I was like a little kid, but I was also an adult with a college education who understood, like, snow is just an aspect of weather. It's no more interesting than, like, rain or hail or wind. And I know how it's made and where it comes from, but that did not change the fact that it was, like, the most fucking amazing thing I had ever seen. So, like, I totally sympathize with her going around, like, touching everything and watching water boil. I get that, like, some experiences just have to be lived.
That's awesome.
Also, snow is so cool.
Yeah, it
no
is.
No pun intended.
It is pretty cool.
That was so awful. I'm sorry. Snow is the bee's knees. There we go.
So we went from punny to 50s. I'll take it. So what did you guys think about the art? We'll talk about the art, and then we'll go down to rating it.
You know what's funny? I really liked the art, and maybe this was like kind of a meta assessment because I was, you know, reading the comic, but I thought I got a like Uncanny Valley sensation.
Yeah.
From the people.
A lot of the facial work is, the faces are well drawn, but the expressions are very often flat, which really, really works for the vibe of this comic.
Mm-hmm.
I got a very, like, it almost reminds me of reading a webcomic. And by that I mean it's like, I don't know, like, I guess indie is the term. It's very not, like, Cape. It's the polar opposite of Cape Comics, and it's also the polar opposite of, like, comics with an X, you know, with, like, the thick black lines, like Art Spiegelman or Crumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's like totally different than those two things. Very thin lines, very like flat color. And I don't know, it just made the world seem so almost like what's that movie where everything's in black and white?
Sin City? The Spirit.
No, like, really it's like 50s, movie, and then they all turn color.
Schindler's List.
It's not Schindler's
List. Oh, Pleasantville.
What?
Citizen Kane. No.
I was trying to think of black and white movies.
Yeah, Pleasantville. Like there's something, like, so flat and 50s about it. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe the art, but I really love it. I feel like it works so well for this.
And Andy, you mentioned the paneling. I thought the paneling was excellent in this comic.
Yeah, it really was.
And they showed transition really well, because especially when the scenes of characters waking up or the pages where people are waking up were really good. You know, where it would show, like, what roused the person. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
This is an efficient comic. Like, it knows where to take its time and where to just cut stuff out in terms of what it's showing. Mm-hmm. So, like, I love that it's just a series of these long scenes of, like, people staring at each other, their eyes opening, things like that. But then they cut out stuff, so it's not like we're bogged down with, like, every single action like you sometimes see, but also, like, there's just this really good understanding of, like, the emotion of a situation.
Yeah, you mentioned, I didn't even remember this, but you mentioned the scenes with people's eyes opening. When he turns Ada on and off, it's always a couple panels. And before she becomes sentient, her eyes never open all the way. But after the reboot, like, her eyes are kind of that half open, and then he turns her off and her eyes are closed, and then he turns her back on. And the second she comes back on, her eyes are open completely wide. Like, that is, oh, that's so subtle and so beautiful. It's perfect. Just that change, that consistency in what she was before and what she is now. It's perfect. All right, you guys want to rate this?
Sure.
Sure.
Jen, you go first.
5. It was...
Boom, like, that was quick.
It was a hard, hard effort to not continue reading. But I want to save it for next week, so I'm all, like, surprised and psyched. I immediately finished the first 7 issues and then recommended it to a friend. I will also say this, bonus points for making it available on Kindle and easy to buy. Thank you, Image.
Yeah.
Like, I love Comixology and I love the Marvel app, but man, like, to just be able to get things that easily, like, please, can we just get digital comics like that?
Just make them like any other book. Just put them for sale everywhere you can.
I will buy them. I will happily put my dollars down for that.
Yep.
I totally agree. I think Kindle and Dark Horse are the best digital comic reading.
That Dark Horse app, so far. App kills it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, I mean, even Kindle, which is not just a comic reading app, does comics really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way it handles panels and everything is excellent.
All right, David, what's your score?
I'm also going to give it a 5. Just like Jen, I as I read this comic, knowing that I was going to have to stop after issue 7, and knowing that I was going to want to keep reading, I got the feeling that if I kept reading, I would not be able to not talk about issues 8 plus. So I made a concerted effort to not read more because I knew I wouldn't be able to keep my mouth shut. So, you know, these first 7 issues are definitely a 5. This is one of the best comics I've read this year, for sure. So, if you are just listening to this episode, sorry, spoiler alert, but it's definitely worth your time and monies to read. So, 5.
All right. Let's make it unanimous. I'm also going to give it a 5. I liked the first 5 issues of this, so I said, fuck it, let's read all of them. And I don't regret the decision because, man, this is just so good. And I mean, we talked about so much in this episode that we could have delved into further philosophically and morally. And I love discussions about sentience and AI and robotics because it opens up so many other things to talk about. I think it's one of the best areas of sci-fi is robotics and sentience and AI. Like, we didn't even talk about, like, the social repercussions of this stuff and the differences between human, like, I don't know. It's all kinds of good stuff. But yeah, 5. And the art's good, too, so that always helps.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about AI and what sets this apart, this work, Alex and Ada, is because I think most of the most recognizable works of that deal with sentience and AI are often ones that deal with the killer AI.
The Rebellion. The P-011.
Yeah, I mean, look at The Matrix. The first Matrix movie was so good. The sequels, I think, you know, people often say they're really bad. I still enjoyed them, as far as movies go. But the first one, man, that movie left an impression, and it deals with killer AI, right?
Yeah.
And then,
Battlestar Galactica, iRobot. Yeah,
Battlestar Galactica, exactly. iRobot is a good one. But then there are less known works like this one where it's not about the killer AI. Sure, the possibility exists, but I don't know if it's right to just assume that if machines gain sentience, they're automatically going to start killing people off, right? That might happen, but who knows? I mean, look at the Borg, right? I mean, they're not 100% mechanical, but they are very, they have shades of AI in them for sure. And,
yeah,
and
I don't know how much I would call them sentient.
Well, but they have their own, they're in charge of their own destiny, right?
Yeah.
And in Star Trek, it's a good juxtaposition seeing them next to Data. And that often comes up in the episodes with Lore being in charge of the small contingent of Borg is a good, example of that. And I'm going down a big rat hole, so I'm going to stop now.
5's all around. You guys ready for Fight Night?
Yeah.
All right. This week, like every week, Fight Night is brought to you by Patreon. Thank you, patrons. You helped us earn all of our goals for the year, all the easy ones, all the necessary ones that we needed. Thank you so much. Because we have a little bit over, we're able to do awesome stuff for patrons with the show. So thank you all. If you want to become a patron and help support the show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. You can pick a Fight Night topic for us. You can pick a show to read. We'll do basically whatever you ask, so long as it's not in reason, because you're a patron and you're one of us if you become a patron. Thank you, all of you who are patrons. This week's topic for Fight Night is best DC waifu. So the way Fight Night works is each one of us picks a character that fits the theme. We all give our case in about 2 minutes or less, and then we all vote for somebody else's choice. So best DC, as in DC Comics waifu. If you don't know what a waifu is, which one of you is more qualified to explain what a waifu is?
I really am not. I don't
I guess
know.
It's me.
No, I'm not saying I'm not trying. I'm not saying that to just.
No, I think Jen
really
is more internet than either of us.
A good way to describe what a waifu is. I like anime, but I'm not like an otaku.
So your waifu is your wife, but not in meat space. She's your 2D girlfriend.
Meat space.
My friend says meat space. It's like the best term.
Pretty good.
You are loyal to your waifu, and she inspires in you a feeling of moe, which is really hard to describe. Just fucking Google that. M-O-E, moe.
It's gonna cope with Mo Sizlak.
You gotta, like... God. Mo would not make a good waifu.
No.
I mean, unless you're into that.
Yeah.
Mo is probably Barney's waifu.
And you don't, like, you don't subject your waifu to like, you treat her with respect. You gotta be good to your waifu. And she'll cook you dinner. I mean, she's probably like a body pillow when you're just doing the cooking and taking a picture of her, like, posed with it, but whatever. That's your waifu.
All right. So this week, best DC waifu.
Fight night. Round one.
I think it's kind of obvious who my DC waifu would be. It would be Power Girl. Not just because of the obvious physical reasons, but she's also the owner of a huge technology software company, which makes her super rich, but she lives in a nice apartment. She's down to earth. She doesn't have huge high standards, nothing crazy. I shouldn't say down to earth, down to Krypton. She has a weird snowball collection, the snow globe collection. So she's got like quirky personality stuff. We read her comic. I'd love to go see a scary movie with her. She looks like she's a ton of fun. And it's nothing crazy. It's just a real person. Which, after all, isn't that what we're all wanting? A person to connect with.
Round two.
All right, so my DC waifu is... I chose Big Barda. Because she... I think, like Andy said about Power Girl, is down to earth. She has a normal life outside of superheroing. She seems to take good care of Scott, so I think she could take good care of me. In meat space, I'm not the strongest fighter man in the world, so I think if I had Big Barda around, she could protect me really well.
I appreciate your spot of vulnerability there.
Well, I'm not. I'm not a fighter. My body's not for violence.
It's for love.
Yeah, my body's for love.
Keep going. This won't count against your time.
Oh, God. I totally lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
And she's a strong, confident person, and it's good to have somebody like that in your corner. So there you go. I don't know.
All right.
Round three.
Mogo. So Mogo would make a good waifu. He's really good at connecting with people on an emotional level. His flora can provide sustenance for you. So he's basically making you dinner with his love nectar.
Love nectar.
just Google that and Google like anime season. I think it's summer 2015. You will get the proper results.
Oh no, I already know what love nectar is.
I bet you do. Mogo would fit really well on a pillow, like a body pillow if you printed him on it.
I mean,
because it'd be like so big and round, it'd be really soft and cuddly.
Like a beanbag pillow.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to, and finally, you're not supposed to feel, like, lust toward your waifu, just, like, adoration. And I think it would be hard to lust after Mogo, so you'd be able to keep your thoughts about him really pure. It would be, like, a very pure emotional relationship and not a carnal relationship. So that's why Mogo is the ultimate waifu.
this is the best right. fight night in a while. I'm gonna vote first because I went first. When I was looking at the list of people that we have written down, I was gonna go with Big Barda because I feel like just being a house husband, like that's honestly my goal in life, is to be like a stay-at-home dad, and I feel like Barda would be cool with that. She just wants, like, she escaped apocalypse to live in the suburbs of Kansas or something. Like, Barda and I have similar life goals, but you know what? Jen sold me on Mogo, honestly. So I'm going with Mogo because I would have many, many impure thoughts about Barda. David, how about you?
Yeah, see, this is hard because I didn't really know what the definition of a waifu was.
Yeah, I didn't know either because I would not have picked Power. Isn't in DC in the Rock of Eternity? There's a statue for each of the seven sins, and the statue for lust is literally Power Girl.
Is it really? Really?
Yeah, it is. It's super creepy and disturbing that they did that to one of their characters, because they're not all characters. It's just Power Girl.
Oh, yeah, that's really weird then.
That's a poor choice, DC. I'm sorry.
DC does that with their female characters sometimes.
Yeah, that's not a great DC.
Comics, everybody.
So anyways, I don't know. This one's hard.
Yeah, it is.
I think Jen, I'm going to give it to Mogo. that feels more right. I think what really hurt your chances, Andy, was when you said you would have impure thoughts about Barda. So I think that if you're going to have them about Barda, you definitely have them about Power Girl. And that's not what waifu's about.
Yeah, yeah.
Winner, Jen!
All right, Jen, who would you have picked? You already won the week, but who would you pick?
So, I think that Power Girl would make an excellent real-life girlfriend. I want to put that out there.
Yeah.
I think that she would be lovely to actually date. But I gotta go with Big Barda. Because, the house husband idea. That's, like, perfect. And I like David's vulnerability in admitting that he could...
Loving out a fighter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he'd let Barda take care of that kind of thing. And I respect that.
Thank you.
This has been the best fight night in a while, and I'm so happy. Because I wrote it down, I was like, it's going to be kind of corny. But no, it was great. It was great.
Watch, we're going to get, like, a bunch of weebs writing in, being like, that is not what waifu is. You're all
Please,
wrong.
Please, weebs, welcome. Thank you for listening. Because this is the end of the episode. Thank you for sticking it out and listen next time, too. Welcome, weebs. All of you weebs.
Love them. So that's share it for my hobbies.
Mine too. That's it for this week. Next week, we're going to finish reading Alex and Ada. So that's issues 8 to 15. Same artists, same writers. You know the drill. We're going to finish it up. I'm pretty sure most of us are going to finish reading this like tomorrow. Not even wait a week. Because I want to know. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to know what we have coming up after that, we have straight up like through March of next year on our website. Welcome to comics.com. Go over there. On the left, there's a link that says future shows. You click on that. It says everything that we're reading for the next couple months. There's also a link that says past shows, everything that we've done for the last 4.5 years, 5 years now, I think. Did we totally just skated by our 5-year mark, didn't we?
Really?
Yeah, we started in 2010.
Yeah, we totally just skated right by it and didn't even make a mention. It's because we're gunning for episode 250. That's what we're doing.
Anyway, we're pretty close to it at this point.
We are. We should do a thing. I don't know what, though. Anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, Alex and Ada, 8 to 5. Until then, everybody, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yumbo yak con queso.
Yumbo yak con queso, yes.
Okay, yumbo, yeah?
In high school, we always used to go to the Jack in the Box drive-thru. And we would order Jumbo Jacks just so the lady would be like, okay, do yumbo yak. And we'd, like, try so hard not to crack up. She was so enthusiastic about it. It was hilarious.
Do yumbo yaks.
No yaks.